In Her Own Words, Lucy, Part 1. I can vaguely picture Brother Jack and I being ill in bed. Guess I was about 3 years old. Also Mum and Dad being ill, with the flu, as I believe there was an epidemic at that time. It was Highton Quarry we first lived after leaving Wigan. It must have been work that brought Dad here, for it was the years of depression and no work, apart from the mines. But really, Dad's job was painting and decorating. We moved to Cronton Avenue to be nearer the colliery. The houses belonged to the colliery too, so once in them, you had a better chance of keeping your job. Mum used to help the budget by working in the fields, picking peas and potatoes, and Jack and I would run and help. I always seemed to be troubled with a persistent cough. I can recall Mum coming into my room many, many times pouring cod liver oil into me. I must have really had gallons of this during my childhood. Also Scott's emulsion and plenty of malt. They were always worried that coughing would develop into consumption, TB. How well I remember going to Whiston Central School. I had a favourite teacher, Mrs. Jolly, who was the English mistress. I used to help her and stay behind, helping with marking. She also gave me a lot of confidence, and I remember being very thrilled at being made the school librarian. When the time came to leave, it was she who asked me to ask my mum if I could go and be her helper at her home, my duties being to make beds, wash breakfast dishes, clean out the fireplace and lay fire, and prepare a meal for Mrs. Jolly and Mrs. Jolly's brother. What I didn't realise at the time was I was being prepared domestically. Then came the time I had to leave. Our Bill had taken ill, and it turned out he had scarlet fever, and because of Mrs. Jolly being a teacher, the doctor advised I might carry the fever and she could even get it and pass it on. Both Jack and I got the scarlet fever. The ambulance came, took us both to Delph Lane Isolation Hospital. We spent our Christmas in the hospital and Jack was very ill. I thought of nursing, but training was out because I failed the medical, having a persistent cough. Well, I remember feeling very upset and not wanting to go into the BICC, British Insulated Calendars Cables, or Tinlins Print Works. That meant service. That, being a servant for the rich families in Highton, which was so very posh in those so-called good times for the wealthy. So off I went to the Macleishes. Yes, sir. No, madam. I was trained by a very, very severe housekeeper. Black and white uniform was a must. From there I went to work in a girls' boarding school. I remember running away after the housekeeper cook told me to bring in the shepherd's pie for lunch and found mice had already eaten half. It was either that or nothing. So off I went running until I reached home and telling them why I'd run. I suppose I was afraid of being brought back. Dad came to the rescue, and he and I, hand in hand, went to the school. I do clearly remember Dad laying down his hands on the table and saying that he would make it known how a so-called posh school had the staff behind the scenes thinking they could get away with thinking they could do what they wanted, and so it was taken to higher authorities. I was later sent for, and they asked me to come back, as a new housekeeper and cook had been taken on. But no fear, I'd had enough. So I was at home again, helping Mum and the lodgers. The saddest memory of the 1930s was my dad passing away on the 30th of January, 1937. Our home life was very empty, and Mum was very, very sad. Many a time I had to follow her, as she threatened to end it all. That year was very hard, having to adjust to living on 10 shillings a week, widow's pension. And then our Jack, rather than be out of work, went down the mine. That broke Mum's heart. So many times I had heard Dad say, "No son of mine will go down the pit." But Jack went, from what I remember, rather sadly too. for he worked later at the BICC, and in those days that work was stopped when you reached 18 years old. So another new life was ahead for us. Part 2. Our life certainly changed when Dad was taken. Mother got a job in school meals in Delph Lane School. She couldn't earn very much because of the pension. Then I applied for an office job in the BICC. I too worked in the meter shop, but was only working 3 days and 2 days off. So to be in regular work, I got the office job, even if a little less money. It would be regular. The first office job was in AD, Accessories Division, Hammer Shop, with Mr. Hawkins as boss. And he was like a father to me. After a while in there, I wanted to better myself. So when the occasion came, I applied for secretary to Mr. Harper, head boss over AD, and my friend Florence Nightingale was leaving to be married, so she put in a good word for me and I got her job. We made good pals, so much so I was her bridesmaid on the 13th of August 1938. Lilac taffeta with net overlayers, I remember. Her mother and father were very kind to us, and we were friends until she died. Hugh, Florrie's husband, was very keen on flowers and entering competitions, so we had a lot in common and would spend hours trying out new creations. Guess I learnt a lot of ideas from him, but sadly Florrie wasn't very interested. But I must say he was very clever and went on to judging and won many certificates at Southport Flower Show, and now he's shown and judged all over the world and in this country. By now, we're leading up to the war, which was declared on Sunday, the 3rd of September 1939. What a day. I remember Mum and I crying and wondering. Everywhere had to be blacked out, no light showing, ration books and gas masks were issued. How does one cope? Hard to believe I lived through a war. Guess we were very lucky in this area. Bombs were rained over Liverpool and we were on the flight path. We had big searchlights in Tarbuck and incendiary bombs were dropped many times. One dropped on number 34, but luckily there were fire wardens on hand to put it out quickly. The BICC then was very quickly put on war work. I still remained in the tool room office and from there I got to know Bill. He was the storekeeper in Accessories Division, and we would chat casually. In those days there were no tea breaks, and we worked from 5 till 8 in the morning until 5:30 on Saturday and mornings. So Bill and a couple of his pals would make tea off the record, and I was invited at said time in the stores for this unofficial cuppa. My boss, Alf Harper, was a bulldog type, but his bark was worse than his bite, so to speak. He was very good to me, and we got on fine. I think he knew what went on, but closed his eyes, so to speak. When I think of the old-fashioned telephone upright stand and a receiver I had to use as secretary, I had to be very diplomatic if there was someone Mr. Harper didn't want to see. He would shake his head and I had to say he wasn't in, when he was. I didn't like that much. Guess it was a little white lie, but as a Sunday school teacher it bothered me. But I loved my time at the BICC. I guess that meeting Bill was the highlight. Indeed, when he asked me out, I was already seeing someone else. But Bill's quiet and sincere way won, and I did have some lovely outings. Pictures regularly, and over the water to Hoylake and West Kirby. Always a meal out, and very generous. Always the best seats in the shows. No queuing for Bill. Then, after about 6 months, I called it off. Nothing serious. I think the difference in our age, and I liked dancing, going out with the girls, and he did not. We were still friends, though, and I would see him as my job often took me to the stores, and he would always chat. He really was known as a confirmed bachelor, so I used to get my leg pulled by the crowd who knew I'd been out with him. My mum, who I told about Bill and about the age difference, commented and encouraged me to bring him home, and she would see for herself. Well, I made it up with him and invited him home. What attracted me was always his smart appearance, kindness and cleanness. He wasn't a smoker or drinker, smaller than me, hence I took to wearing low-heeled shoes, and always a gentleman. Although it was wartime, it was a happy relationship. He was exempt from war service because of his job and kept getting six-month exemptions, although he was a fire warden until the end of the war. We used to go a couple of times a year to a farm in the Lake District named High Arnside, and we used to say that whenever we got our new home, that would be the name. It was a lovely spot between Coniston and Ambleside, not far from Skelwith Bridge. Many happy hours we spent there walking. Here's a note from me. Lucy and Bill were married in June 1944. Her younger brother Bill couldn't be there as he was a stoker on a landing craft for the D-Day landings. My dad's wartime work included work on the building of one of the giant welders used for the pipelines under the ocean Pluto project to take fuel to the invading Allied forces.